Welcome back, Creepaholics Girl, to an extended and bone-chilling episode where we dive even deeper into the unimaginable terror of the I-70 Strangler. Grab your flashlights and brace yourselves for more spine-tingling details in this grim tale that has left a dark mark on the Midwest. Our journey resumes along the eerie expanse of the Interstate 70, where the late 1980s witnessed a series of gruesome murders. The phantom known as the I-70 Strangler casted a haunting shadow over those who dared to traverse this highway of horrors. Now let's shine a light on more gruesome specifics that unfolded between June 1980 and October 1991. The elusive killer targeted young boys and adolescents, meeting them in popular gay bars and establishments within a four-block radius of Indianapolis. The victims, numbering 12 or more, were discovered near I-70, often dumped in rivers, streams, and ditches in the rural countryside, each bearing signs of strangulation. Picture the I-70 corridor as a gruesome stage for the malevolent force. As victims fell, Detective Alex Buckner and fellow investigators embarked on a relentless pursuit of justice. Imagine the eerie woods of Illinois and the desolate highways of Indiana and Ohio, becoming scenes of horror. Each crime scene unfolded its own horrors, painting vivid pictures that left investigators haunted by the sinister puzzle that seemed to elude resolution. In the depths of these woods, investigators encountered twisted scenes where young lives were brutally extinguished. Bodies were often discovered in grim positions, discarded near rivers and streams, like grotesque pieces of trash in a chilling story of horrors. The investigators faced with the harsh reality of these crime scenes. They couldn't shake the haunting images that was etched in their minds. The whispers of the highway concealed more than just the identity of the I-70 Strangler. They whispered tales of agony, despair, and the unrelenting darkness that gripped the victims. There was no ordinary investigation. It was a descent into the abyss of the killer's psyche, leaving indelible scars on those seeking to unravel the mysteries within. And now a bit more to send shivers down your spine. The investigation into the I-70 Strangler, a task force of 8 officers, was created by Indianapolis police in 1982 to investigate these crimes. The FBI joined in 1983, suggesting at least 2 different perpetrators were operated independently. Now a glimpse into the initial suspects, with names like Duncan Patterson, August, also known as Gus, Casito, and even convicted serial killer Larry Eller. The investigation twists and turns, with Eller providing a 17-page confession involving his lover, Robert Little, and sending shockwaves through the unfolding narrative. Adding to the intrigue, the elusive local businessman, Herb Baumeister, found himself under scrutiny, leaving investigators to navigate a complex web of potential suspects that keeps this case shrouded in mystery. Now, Creepaholics crew, let's turn our attention to the haunting crime scenes etched in the investigators' minds. Picture the desolate stretches of the Interstate 70, where the I-70 Strangler's grim axe left a vivid imprint on the landscape. The gruesome scenes unfolded between June 1980 and October 1991, spanning across Indiana and Ohio. The killer with a chilling... The killer with a chilling perspective for young boys and adolescents frequent popular gay bars within a 4-block radius in Indianapolis. The victims, a tragic roster of 12 or more, met their fate in a horrifying symphony of strangulation. Their lifeless bodies discarded near I-70 painted a stark taboo of despair in rivers, streams, and ditches in the rural countryside. Michael Petrie, only 15, a male prostitute navigating the city's gay bars, met a tragic end in the rural Hamilton country in 1980. Maurice Taylor, a vagrant living in the boiler room of an Indianapolis apartment complex, found his demise in Weasel Creek in 1982. Devold Lee Baker, a young 8th grader, was discovered semi-nude near a river in Hamilton County, sparking a heart-wrenching investigation into his tragic end. The nightmarish chronicles continued with Michael Andrew Riley, Eric and Alan Rotager, Michael Allen Glenn, James Robbins, Jean Paul Tablet, Stephen L. Elliott, Clay Russell, Boatman, Thomas Clevenger Jr., and Otto Gary Becker. Their lives extinguished along the sinister stretches of I-70. Now let's shift our focus to the investigators' pursuit. A task force of 8 officers initiated in 1982 by the Indianapolis police embarked on an extensive investigation. The FBI joined forces in 1983, uncovering a chilling revelation. At least 2 different perpetrators operating. Profilers divulged into their minds of the elusive killers, unraveling a tapestry of violent behavior and deeply hidden secrets. As whispers of the I-70 Strangler's region of terror permeated in the air, initial suspects emerged. Duncan Patterson forced accusations in the fall of 1982, but was officially eluded after passing a polygraph test. August Gus Casito faced a brief interrogation, but was swiftly released due to a lack of evidence. Entering Larry Eller, a convicted serial killer, and Herb Baumeister, a local businessman, under scrutiny for separate heinous crimes. Eller's link to the I-70 Strangler remained elusive, with investigators navigating the complexities of his past. In 1998, post-homus revelations surrounding Baumeister's potential connection sent shockwaves through the investigation. Now imagine the investigator's dilemma, staring into the abyss of unanswered questions and the haunting scenes left in the wake of the I-70 Strangler. But stay tuned, Creepaholics crew, as we continue our journey into the unknown on another episode, when we peel back the layers of the darkness. Once again, that's all for now. Keep those flashlights ready, stay on the edge of your seats, and join us in the next episode as we unravel even more chilling tales. Until then, keep creeping it real, Creepaholics crew. Goodbye for now.
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.